Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This email is from Greg.
Yep. Greg says, good morning, Ben and Nathan. I just received my score for the November LSAT, my second attempt, and received a 172 exclamation point. I wanted to thank you both so much for everything that you have done for me during my LSAT prep. I've been a Demon student since June. I began at a 153 diagnostic, so 19 points of improvement. Your approach to the LSAT made learning this test so enjoyable. Ah, thanks, Greg.
Cool.
That's what I like the most. I heard from another student last couple days who said, you know, wow, I improved a ton. Thanks so much. And I'm like, well, you did all the work. And they said, yeah, but you made it fun. And cool. That's like one of the best compliments I think that we can get, because this is pretty dry stuff. And if we can trick you into having fun while you're studying for the LSAT, that certainly does lead to more improvement. So yeah, we're working on that every day.
Okay.
Greg continues, I wanted to share with you parts of working with the Demon that I enjoyed the most. First, I loved the straightforward approach. The last standardized testing I did was the SAT. I hated that in my prep courses, a question would be answered with, well, that answer is good, but this one is just slightly better. That is what people say when they don't actually understand. On the LSAT, that's not a thing.
Yep.
It is not about, well, yeah, that's a totally credible answer, but this one is a slightly better. No. The wrong answers are wrong. Yeah. And the right answer is the only one that's not wrong and is right. And if you hear a teacher, and this applies to any of our Demon teachers, by the way, if you hear a Demon teacher say, oh, well, this one's just slightly better, you should call bullshit and you should let us know. You can also use the ask button. There's multiple ways that you can get a full explanation. I mean, I did an advanced logical reasoning class last night. I was subbing, and there was one question where I thought that like another answer was pretty good. But then I saw the right answer and I knew that right answer was clearly correct. I had a hard time articulating exactly why to get rid of that wrong answer. And I took a quick look, and sure enough, there was a full written explanation in the Demon already. And the full written explanation just, you know, debunks that wrong answer and points out exactly what's wrong with it. Yeah. So don't let an LSAT teacher bullshit you with that answer is good, but this one is just slightly better. That's not how this test works. Greg says, I loved the way you both explained wrong answer choices. I lived by the fact that there is always one clearly right and four absolutely wrong answers. This took all the guessing out of the test for me. If I got a question wrong, there were specific reasons for that mistake. Another phrase that I loved was that when you get a question wrong, you are making two mistakes. First, you're choosing the wrong answer. Second, you're failing to notice why the right answer is right. Again, things like this made the test so learnable. I was not scared of the LSAT because you showed me that it was easy. Things were not up to the LSAT gods, but rather my learning and my progress was up to me. Attacking the answer choices in your written explanations was so helpful. There were many times when I considered using the ask button, but in reading the explanations, I found myself answering my own questions just by reading the way you explained the answers. That's nice, but if the written explanations are unclear, I still want you to hit the ask button, because we're going to make those explanations even better.
There's over 9,000 questions, so...
Oh my God, that's a bigger project than I... If I had any idea how big that project was 4 years ago or whatever, when we started putting these explanations into the Demon, man, I don't know if I would have wanted to do it.
At the same time, I mean, at this point, I actually don't think there's like what? Like we 12 gotta be running questions left that
oh man.
No explanation.
I did like five of them yesterday.
Wow.
I like wrote five brand new LR explanations yesterday, and now when I get those requests, I'm like, okay, good. Like, I know I'm going to do this. I've committed. I'm going to do this. But I'm like, fuck, there's still more of these damn questions that need written explanations.
Oh,
my
you know God. What, though? I just remembered. We just got 200 new questions a few months ago or a month ago. Yeah,
but they weren't even those tests.
It was interesting.
Like prep test 12 or whatever. That, you know, neither of us have spent that much time, or we didn't used to spend that much time on the old prep tests. Now we totally do, but. Anyway, glad the written explanations are helpful, Greg. Drilling was also a game changer for me. When I began my prep, my mom had read somewhere online that to succeed on the LSAT, one would need to dedicate about 300 hours of studying.
Where do people get these numbers and then publish them?
Yes, what, 300? That'd be 100 hours of a month for 3 months. 100 hours a month is kind of a lot.
That is a lot. That's 25 a week.
Yeah. I mean, that's not to say that some people don't spend that much time or twice that or four times that. I mean, I've...
It's just an oddly specific number. To
yeah, that. About 300. Okay, really? Yeah, sounds like bullshit. Greg says, based on your advice, however, one focused hour per day was extremely productive for me. Now, I mean, you know, but you could get to 300 that way, right? Like some people study for more for a year. But if you do one high quality hour a day, you're making forward progress. And I know that you're going to be better a month or 6 months from now. If you just give me 1 hour a day, you'll get there. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I was not aiming for any sort of time achievement or even a goal score. I took the LSAT when my practice scores were in the range I would be happy with on the real attempt, and this paid off with a 172. Thank you both for everything. Again, I don't really care about getting this on the show. I just wanted to share how appreciative I am for you both and the work you put in to make this test easy for students like me. I will be applying next cycle, so stay tuned for a personal statement from me that will take into account all your advice and hopefully pass the gauntlet. personal statements need to go through lsat.link/statement. And we're reading no more than one per week on the Thinking LSAT podcast. But it's got to be a good one. It's got to listen to our advice. Wishing you both a wonderful end of your year. All the best, Greg.
Wow. Thanks, Greg. Glad it worked for you.
Do you think Greg's ready for us to give him the advice that we're about to give him?
Take it again.
Well, Greg, you see, here's the thing. You've taken it twice. You improved a lot from your diagnostic. You have a 172 on record. You seem to enjoy the process. You said you're not applying until next cycle.
You have three more attempts, at least.
Oh, you have three. Yeah. You have more swings at it. So that's where, yeah, I mean, I appreciate all of our advice that you have taken so far, but I am curious why you're just declaring victory with that 172. Are you aware that there were twice as many people applying with 175s and higher as there were in the previous cycle? I'm waiting for Greg to respond.
Yes.
Oh, you are aware. Oh, and you're still just going to settle for that 172. Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, there might be reasons, you know, if Greg's sure that he's going to his neighborhood law school and 172 is 10 points over their 75th percentile. I suppose I could make an exception for that, but it seems to me that like there's nothing but upside, very little downside. You wouldn't even have to hardly study, you know, just do a tiny bit here and there to stay sharp. Pay $200 to LSAC, which sucks. But if you take it again and get a 175, I mean, could be worth it.
I've told this story on the show before, but it's been a very long time, and it's not exactly applicable to Greg, because Greg sounds like he was doing everything right. But I had a student who was overstudying, right? 3 hours a day, doing very well, really seemed to understand everything. But the two times that she took a the official test, she got a 168, well below her practice test scores in the mid to high 170s. And she gave up. She's like, look, I'm done. I took it twice. Like, both times I got a 168. I can't deliver on the actual test day. Ugh. And I said, look, fine. You're done. You're burned out, in part because you've been studying too much. I've been telling you not to study so much. But take a break. Sign up for the next test. I don't care if you do nothing. I don't care if you do nothing. Just take the test again. And she actually did that. She did almost nothing. She went and took the test again and then got a 178. And she couldn't, like, stop talking about it.
Yeah, well, 10 points more of improvement with doing no additional work. I mean,
none.
Now, that's somebody who had a practice test record that was way higher than her official score. And, you know, it's possible that Greg is the opposite. Like, what if Greg's range was in the high 160s and then he happened to get a 172 on the official test? At that point, if you want to declare victory, fine. Like, I don't have really much of a problem with that. 172 is a fine score. Like, it's a great score. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's probably not 99th percentile. It's probably 98th. And Greg, if you think you can do better, there's just no downside to retaking, and there's lots of upside to retaking.
Yep.
I have heard, I got some pushback just the other day from a current applicant who was like, well, I've already taken it two or three times. And I just had an interview and they asked me why I had retaken the test. Well, the fact that they are asking you why you retook it doesn't mean that they're discriminating against you for retaking it.
Nope.
They could be asking for any other reason. They could be just fishing to see if you'll, like, you know, disclose that you got accommodated on the test. Or who knows why they're asking. They could just be curious. I don't know. Show me evidence that says that law schools are actually discriminating against people who take the test multiple times. Because all I see is people getting into actual fucking Yale who took it five times.
Five times.
So how can that possibly be that people are actually being discriminated against there?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Greg, for writing in. You want to wrap it up?
Yep. Email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening. ¶¶